I had planned to go back in Matthew chapter 24 and get back into our subject on the tribulation, but just felt like we needed to go back to the 27th Psalm this evening, and so we're going to do that. And Psalm 27, verse number 1, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Well, what a true statement. It just jumped out off the page. I've been reading this over and over and over for a couple of weeks now. And I've read this, but look at the first phrase of that, after that first question mark. The Lord is the strength of my life. Well, what a true statement. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. And I didn't ask her to sing that song, but ain't it amazing how the Lord just put services together while he was dealing with my heart about, and I was wrestling about which direction to go tonight. God was dealing with others' hearts and asked, somebody sent word to have her sing that song about a hiding place and under the wing of God. Where, nowhere better could you be than under the protective wing and covering of God. And this is the thought in the heart of the psalmist. He said, all these enemies and all these battles and all this trouble I'm facing, he said, one thing I have desired that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. There it is again. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put thy servant away in anger. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. No more about you. Some of y'all may be way more complex than I am, but I'm just a country bumpkin, and I need the plain paths of the Lord. I mean that. Life gets complicated even in Packlet, in a little town, in just a small, what you'd call, I guess, just an average, normal, simple family. Life can get so complex and so complicated, and I need the guiding of God. I need God to put plain paths. I mean, I read the verse this morning and alluded to it. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I need all the help from God. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. I've tried it my way, and I've got off route, and I've got off track before, more times than one. And I'll just tell you, it never ends well. Oh, goodness, it don't end well when you go your own way. But God has a way, and God will guide you in His way, and He will make His path plain for you. If you want to be in God's will, you can be. If you want to seek after the Lord, you can be. I promise you. And the key is in the verses we just read prior to that. I don't think it was by accident. He's talking about seeking the face of God. Are you listening? He's talking about seeking the face. He's talking about seeking the beauty of the Lord. And the beauty of the Lord's in His face. What's 2 Chronicles say? 7:14, the verse we all know is the revival verse. It's no accident that verse talks about seeking the face of the Lord. And here the psalmist is talking about seeking the face. So if you want to end up in the place that you should be, the plainest, most simple way to do that is to wake up every morning and seek the face of God. Amen. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. My father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Boy, I can identify with this next verse. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would not be here this evening. I would have stopped and quit, and I would not have made it this far if I hadn't seen and experienced the goodness of God. Paul said it like this: I am what I am by the grace of God, and so are you. And then, to close the psalm out, he said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This morning, we continued on in this message on the subject, hope in a troublesome time. And we began and looked at how we can gain and get the hope that we need even in times of trouble. And we talked about and dealt with how the psalmist had confidence in the Lord. And that produced hope. When you got confidence in God, it's going to give you hope. And this morning we dealt with how he had confidence in the person of the Lord, in the person of God, who he is. God, the Bible said God, he don't just have light. God is light. He's the light of the world. And so, and God don't just have salvation. God is salvation. Yeah, so we looked at how we can have confidence in the person of the Lord. And then tonight, just say a quick word and then we're going to try to get further. But then he dealt with confidence, not only in the person of the Lord, but confidence in the performance of the Lord. Verses 2 and 3 if I can see to read again, the Bible said, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He said, all hell's coming against me. I mean, enemies from every angle, enemies from every side. They talking about me, they running me down, they shooting at me, they trying to destroy me. But I'm confident. Not in his own strength. He's confident in the Lord, the person of the Lord, and in the performance of the Lord. He knew, and I'm going to show you why, but he knew God had taken care of him in his past. This wasn't like he just stumbled into this thing and was wondering and waiting and worrying, is he going to come through for me? No, he had already experienced the goodness of God. He had already experienced God coming through for him and performing in his power for him. And because of what God had done, he was confident that God could do again and would do again. And so David declares that his present hope in the Lord rests upon that which the Lord had already done for him in his past. God did not fail him. And because God did not fail him yesterday, he was confident God would not fail him today. The same confidence is ours today. I'm going to ask you this question and we'll move on. Has God ever failed you? No, he has not. No, he has not. Now, you may not always see things eye to eye with God, and you may have had disagreements with God. And I'll just let you know in a loving way, you was wrong, he was right. And so I just didn't understand why God did that. You don't, listen, his understanding is above ours. His ways are above ours. And I promise you in eternity, you will come to agree with God. He was right. God is doing everything for your good and his glory. He is. And so, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together. All things. Even the things that we don't like or understand. And so the God we serve is unchangeable. Ain't you glad? If he done that for the psalmist David, he'll do that for you. And if he's done it in your past, he'll do it in your present. And you can bank on it, he will do it in your tomorrow. That's why I can have confidence in not only the person of God, but in the performance of God. He will. Listen to this, Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God with the same power that he's always been. He's never, never, never changed. Because he has been faithful in the past, we can count on his faithfulness today. Think of all the things God's done for you. I mean, honestly, by definition, there ain't been a day of your life he didn't wake you up. There ain't been a moment of your life he didn't keep your heart beating and your lungs working. You've never had the sun beaming on your brow that his mercies weren't new and fresh and sufficient for you that day. His grace has been there for you. His love, when you didn't deserve it. I mean, when you were at your worst, he was at his best for you. Mm. Yeah, he ain't failed us. Look at all he's done for you. Amen. Think about the victories he's won for you. Think about the mountains he's moved for you. Think about the enemies he's overcome for you. Think about the battles he's overwhelmed. I mean, just, he's been so, so faithful. His performance is impeccable. His power is overwhelming. Think on these things and remember that the God who performed countless wonders in your past can and will perform them again in your future. And that should give you hope. And it gave the psalmist hope. So our confidence in the Lord provides hope. Be confident in Him. You don't have to wonder and worry. No, you can be confident. Now, you can't be confident in you. And I can't be confident in me. But I can, listen, like that song says, there's no need to doubt Him now. He is a faithful God. So our confidence in the Lord provides hope. Number two, our commitment to the Lord provides hope. And I want you to hear me out here. This is getting more in our category, but this is exactly how the verses are laid out. This is exactly how God inspired the writing of this. But listen, the more you're committed to God, the more confident you will be in God and in the hope that He has to offer you. If you stay distant from Him, if you just get in ankle deep and you don't deepen your relationship with God, well, no wonder you're not too confident in your walk with the Lord. No wonder you don't have much hope. But the more you will commit yourself to Him and the more you will give yourself, I mean fully to Him, the more confident your confidence will grow and build, and the more committed you get, the more hope you get. Because this is the key to it. The more you give yourself to Him, and I'm going to prove this to you in just a minute, the more He will give Himself to you. So the more you give to Him, the more of Him you get, and the more of Him you experience, and therein the more hope you gain as you go. So, how does the verses lay this out? Psalm 24, verse 27, verse 4 said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Not only does living with our faith give us hope, but also living faithful to the Lord provides a measure of hope that cannot otherwise exist. David mentions three goals in this verse. These three goals all arise from a single commitment to serve the Lord faithfully from a heart of love. Notice how David's commitment to the Lord manifests itself. Number one, he committed to lingering near the Lord. He wanted to get closer to Him. He desired to be near the Lord. He wanted to linger and hang around where God was. That's why he said in verse 4, he said, "One thing I have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house, not of the wicked, not in the tents of the wicked, but that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Boy, that's a great goal. You want hope? Get to His house. It ought not be up for debate even with yourself whether or not you come to church. Don't give the flesh an inch. Don't give your mind. Don't allow your heart, which is desperately and deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Not you. Not me. So if we can't trust our own heart, people say, "Well, if I know my heart," you don't. Shut up. You don't know it. God said you don't know it. So don't bargain with your own self. Don't even give it up for a question. Don't even put it up for debate whether or not me and my family is coming to church today. Well, of course we come to church. We're Christians. Amen. I want more hope than I have, so I'm going to go where He is. Amen. Yeah. There's hope found in faithfulness and in committing ourselves. And this psalmist committed to lingering with the Lord. David wants to spend his entire life in the house of the Lord. He wants to be in a place where the Lord dwells and where the Lord's presence is and where it's real. There's something about getting around God. I never feel am more full of hope. When I go out in the world and I walk through the slum and the slime of sin, and you're around the pollution and perversion of this world, it weighs on you and it pulls at you, and it just by nature it causes you to lose hope. But boy, I tell you, my hope is never more full. My hope is never more vibrant and real and genuine than when I'm in the house of the Lord and God's people begin singing and a choir thunders and talking about the testimonies of God and the Word of God's opened and preached and the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost of God. Listen to me, it builds hope in me because I am there around the Lord. I'm in His presence and I experience His presence. That gives me hope. I ain't waiting to heaven to get in His presence. I have a hope, I have a blessed hope that I'm going to be in His presence one day physically. But just as real as my hope is that I will stand nose to nose and eyeball to eyeball with Him, I have a hope that when I get in His house that I can get in His presence. He's that real. Are you hearing me? I hope and pray you don't live your life and drag yourself into church and make yourself come to church just to go through a religious routine. But you ever heard this saying, you get out of something what you put in it? If you come looking for Him, you're going to find Him. You come looking to get out, you're going to find an out. You come looking to get in so you can get to Him, you're going to find Him. You say, prove it. I got some Bible for that. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and ye shall find. Are you listening? So, Psalm 84, listen, this theme of David is repeated in Psalm 84. 4 verses 1 through 4, talking about being in the house of God and how he desires to be in the house of God. Now, I ain't saying this because I'm a preacher. Listen, it does bless my heart to see people be faithful to church. I'd be lying to say it didn't encourage me when the church is full. It does. Not so I have a big crowd to preach to, because I know it's good for me, you, and the church, and everybody, and God's blessed when you hear. And I know how hurtful and damaging and dangerous it is when you're not. So yes, I absolutely am encouraged. The psalmist knew this. He understood the importance of being in the house of the Lord. Listen to what he said about getting in the presence of God in Psalm 84. He said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, listen to this." I never saw this till today. He was jealous that the sparrows got to build nests in the chimney of the church because they got to be there even when he didn't. Look at the verse. He said, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house, in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." He even was at the house of God one day, and he looked up and he looked at the rafters and he looked down and looked all around and saw birds chirping and birds flying and said, "My goodness, them little birds has got more sense than most Baptists." They make their home. They reside at the house of God. And I want to reside all the days of my life there. And not only are they just residing there, not only are they making their dwelling place there, but they making sure that they're putting their children there. They brought their little ones and put the nest there. So from the time of birth on, they too would be in the altar, not just at the house of God, but in the altars of God. And boy, that's something that we've got away from. Let me say something about that. I can say something about it, and we'll say something about it because God said something about it, and this ain't my opinion. But God, how many of you believe every word in that Bible is there for a reason? Amen. God didn't waste words. If it's in there, it's with a purpose and a reason. God said, through the penmanship of the psalmist, he said, where she lay her young, even thine altars. And all through the Bible, God exalts the altar, and God makes much of the altar. An altar was a meeting place with God. We're talking about getting in the presence of God. We're talking about getting in His presence and getting to the place of God. Why? So that our hope can be built. And you can come to church. And I ain't knocking where you sit in church. You sit where you want to. I have a problem personally sitting in the back because I get so distracted. Now, if you can look over everybody flipping their fingernails, cutting their fingernails and biting their fingernails and whispering and passing notes. And my wife passed me a note during church. Y'all see that? Wicked devil. No, I'm kidding. Somebody asked her to pass it to me. It was for the service. But I get so distracted. Ever since I was young, after I got saved, when I come to church, I get as close as I can get because I want to get up there where God's moving and doing, and I don't want to be distracted. And again, I said that's me. So don't get mad that I said that. If you can sit across the road and not be distracted, well, good for you. But the altar's up here. So even if you can sit back there and way out yonder, listen, the distance where you sit or whatever should not hinder you from frequently visiting the altar. I'm bothered at how little, and thank the Lord today the altars have been used, but I'm burdened and bothered at how little the altars are used. Why? Because the altar is a meeting place with God. The church is a meeting place with God, no question about it. How many of you feel like you're getting closer to God when you get to church? It's the meeting place. We can call it, this is the meeting. We're going to the meeting. Not the meeting of us. We're going to meet with Him. And so getting to church is great, and it is a meeting place, but this is the corporate meeting place. This is where we come together as a family. This is where the body comes together. But this is where it's intimate. This is where it gets personal. This is where you come to really throw all the distractions out. That's why everybody here is behind you. And here you're down and doing business with Him and Him alone. And you, whether you realize it or not, I need that and you need that. How long has it been since you've been to the altar and got personal with God and met with Him one-on-one? So are you talking to me? Yeah. Yeah, talking to all of us. Talking to all of us. David has a desire to be where God is and to be in the place where God is worshiped and honored. That's his heartbeat. You can hear it. He's seeking after it wholeheartedly. You want more hope? Spend less time on Facebook and more time in His book. You want more hope? Spend more time cutting the TV off with all the negativity and get around people who are worshiping God and ushering you into the presence of God. That will give you more hope. And that's what David is saying. That's his desire, and it ought to be ours as well. We need that same passion to be where the Lord is honored and where He is worshiped. I'll just give the reference. You all know the verse, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But like I said, that's the bare minimum. We need to seek a place of intimacy with the Lord. Now I know you don't have to come to church to be a Christian. If I've heard that, oh my goodness, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that, I'd be a wealthy man. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Nope. You don't. But hear me, Christians love going to church. If you hate church, if you have to drag yourself all the time to church and it's just such a burden, then one of two things is true. Either you lost or you backslid. Because Christians who are right with the Lord love. I mean, with a capital L. Love. It ain't got to be perfect. Cameron, where you at? I love you. Thank you. I love you. You did a good job today. Thank you. No problem. This morning when you started out, you got a step off. Remember that?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It wasn't perfect.
I know it wasn't.
Ain't you glad it ain't got to be?
Yes, sir.
I ain't never preached a perfect message, ever. And by the way, please don't be the one to come and criticize me and point out how bad it was, because I'm way worse on me than you are. I know the mistakes. But ain't you glad we don't have to perfect this thing of worship? We're just sinners, broken sinners. And we come in here, you bring your brokenness, I bring my brokenness. And we're not coming here claiming to be perfectionists, but we come in here simply to look to a perfect God as imperfect people. And it's something magical. It's something wonderful about how we as sinners can come and approach and worship a holy God, and He will meet with us. Oh, yes. Listen, I know these churches around here. Listen to me. I know these churches around here, these mega churches, and boy, they got it down to an art and a science. And I mean, it'll be as plush and almost close to perfect. They won't be a note one out of key. And I mean, the whole service will just flow perfectly. I ain't saying that there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to strive for that. But ain't you glad that ain't what's demanded in order to be able to worship God? Amen. I'm glad I didn't have to be from a certain background or have a certain amount of money or be from a certain college degree. Listen, I'm glad God takes us like we are, and the saying's been made, the ground is level at Calvary. And it's level after Calvary. After you leave there, God don't prefer those with big names and with great achievements. No, God, He's not a respecter of persons. So don't ever feel like you inferior to somebody else. No, He's your Father just like He's mine. Amen. But we ought to desire to find a place of intimacy and closeness. We can have that place where we can linger in His presence all the days of our life. If there's a genuine desire to be near Him, it'll manifest itself. I'm going to repeat that. If there's a genuine desire to be near Him, it'll show it. It'll reveal itself. How? There will be, in your life, personally, there will be a commitment. I'm talking about our commitment produces this hope. The more we get committed, the more hope we're going to have because we get closer to Him. And if there's a genuine desire to be near Him, there will be a commitment to prayer. I know that's almost like a cuss word in church these days. Prayer? You really think I should pray more? Yes, to everybody in here, beginning with me. There ain't no one of us. There ain't no one of us praying nowhere near how we ought to be. You know a Bible verse for that to prove that? The Bible says pray without ceasing. Any of y'all done that today? No. So we can all improve. But there will be a commitment to prayer. And here, could I get you to leave here tonight desiring to have a greater hope in Him by committing yourself more to pray? If you will pray more, I promise you, your hope will grow. Because you know what happened? The God you pray into will hear and answer you. And you will see that. And that, listen, if that don't give you hope to talk to somebody that you can't see, and then it happens. I mean, don't tell nobody. That's what I encourage you to do. Pray in quiet. Pray without telling your right hand what your left hand is doing. Pray without telling anybody anything except Him and watch Him do it. That's the intimacy of prayer. And when you do that and He does what He does and answers it, it'll amaze you. Amen. And it will give you hope greater than you have. Number two, commit more to the Word of God. You say, oh, here we go, the same old things. Pray more and read your Bible more and go to church more. We hear it too. Yeah, we do hear it. You know why? There's a reason. Because that's the answer. There's a reason every preacher you know preaches, pray more, read your Bible more, and go to church more. You know why? Because those are the commitments that work. By the way, the devil knows that. That's why he fights you reading this book. That's why your phone will read when you open this book. That's why a crazy thought will pop in your head and a million thoughts will pop in your head and you will mysteriously just get dirt poured in your eyes, sleepy, when you open your Bible. And then you close it and you're like, bing, I'm wide awake. Ain't that crazy? When you get down to pray, you just get brain fog. Like Elmer Fudd, in your mind, you just don't know what to say. I was thinking clearly a while ago. Now I can't even think. Ain't you glad we serve a God who understands your thoughts? When you can't articulate the words, He knows your heart. So pray. Get intimate with your Bible. Commit to those things. To His house, to prayer, to the Word of God. And that will produce hope. Those who want to linger near the Lord, listen, we'll find a way to do it. Don't look for a way to get out of it. Find a way to do it, and you will. And I said this a while ago, but when you make a move toward Him, I'm done. He'll make a move toward you. I ain't done with this message, but I'm done for tonight. I'm give out. My throat's about shot. The Bible says, James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We're going to stop right there. We'll pick up there next time, but not only was He committed to a lingering heart, getting around the Lord, but He was committed to loving the Lord. The things I talked about tonight was things that you can make yourself do. You can make yourself go to church. You can make yourself read the Bible. Sometimes you have to. You can make yourself pray. I'm talking about lingering around the Lord. But this next part we're going to get into is where the rubber meets the road, and this is what will transform your Christian life. It's loving Him. It's falling in love with Him. And when you do that, like you did the day He saved you, remember that? Remember that first love? I'm done. I'm going to sit down or pray. But I remember when I got saved. Anybody in here tell me if y'all was different? But I remember when I got saved, didn't nobody have to tell me to pray.
Amen, preacher.
I couldn't wait to talk to Him. When I got saved, I loved Him so much, Brother Jimmy, I could not wait to turn another page and learn more. I could not wait. I'd climb over people to get to the next church service. Now, I've been saved all these years, and sometimes I have to drag my own self, and I'm the preacher, to get to His Word, to get on my knees, and to get to church. And the key to fixing that is falling in love with Him again. And those things will just flow naturally. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord.